During the early days, when I was going through the cultivation. So initially, like, everything is so beautiful, you know, like Dhamma is everywhere. So all the book you read, because the Dhamma words are there, then especially the Pali words, then the way they explain it, like Dhamma is everywhere. Then when you heard about a famous monk or somebody very reputable arriving, then you listen like a lot of Dhamma. But later on, as you cultivate, as you develop your own understanding, then you listen again. Very different already. A lot of things run already. Then even the textbook, the written text, everything you read, all run already. The understanding is still not there. The clarity is still not there. But initially, it's like everything is Dhamma. Oh, sadhu, sadhu. But later on, as you develop clearer understanding, it's totally different, very different. Definitely. Those who are on the medium path, they all go the jhana way. The jhana is energy field, one-pointedness, concentration. And most of these non-human, they are all in that field. So that's why they like to come and challenge you or disturb you or interact with you. So it's like swordsmanship. When you are in the world of swordsmanship, gong wu to lei. So people talk about swordsmanship, but people never talk about wisdom, Dhamma. So when you are in the field of swordsmanship, it's all energy field, kung fu. But when you talk about Dhamma, it's understanding, wisdom. It's totally different. And more important is, whatever you train your mind to do, it must develop understanding to understand life that will enable you to live the happy and noble life. Other things are secondary, not so important. But when your emphasis is different, you will focus on psychic, you will focus on energy field, on the special meditation. It depends on what the individual wants. We are still early, so you got any question, you can ask. Energy field is when you concentrate your mind, you develop energy, understand? You can follow. When you focus and concentrate, all your mental energy go into one-pointedness. Then it develops energy. Then if you use it to create psychic, then it becomes psychic field. Understand? So it depends on how you use energy. But the real Dhamma that the Buddha teach, he don't use that. He only teach you awareness to understand what is going on. Definitely it's not sati, because energy field is energy field. Energy field is thought-based. Understand? So when the thought focus, it builds up energy. Understand? So that's why in the, what they call jhanic factor, that's why jhana got five jhanic factors. One of them is ekagata, one-pointedness. Whereas sati, don't have ekagata. Sati is just awareness without focus. If you got any question, you can ask. Then we can discuss it. We still got 12 minutes. 13 minutes. Yes. Yes. No, they had to die before the Buddha's enlightenment. If they don't die, they will become enlightened. Correct, but the trouble is, you must understand, nature's law is like that. That's why you don't make vow to block yourself, understand? The two teachers make that vow not knowing that it will block themselves, understand? But they thought that is the ultimate. The formless right is the highest. To them is enlightenment. So that's why when they make that vow, it will block them from meeting the Sammasambuddha. God, because of that vow, their vow, if they don't die and he become enlightened, these two will become enlightened. No, your aspiration has to be so powerful, just like that two Alara and Udaka, because they are all in the very, very high level of thought-based meditation. At that time, that was the highest. So when they make good or evil, when your mind is very strong, you make vow, it becomes very powerful. So it will override other things. So they wanted that. So because of that, nature's law operates in such a way that you will receive your wish. So that one becomes a hindrance. It blocks themselves. So that's why the timing will happen like that. Understand? The timing will happen like that. Otherwise, it won't be like that. So a lot of people don't understand. They ask the question, how come the Buddha with so much parami takes 6 years to become enlightened? Correct not? Whereas Sariputta Moggallana come 1 week, 2 weeks, arahant already. Then the five ascetic listen to the first sermon. One of them, Sotapan, when he continued with Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, all five become arahant. Why the Buddha need to take 6 years? It doesn't mean that the Buddha is not as wise or don't have such parami. He is the fully enlightened one. He should have all the parami. But how come he have to wait for 6 years? First is Sujata, make that vow to offer the mock rice to the Bodhisattva before he becomes the Sammasambuddha. As long as that is not fulfilled, he cannot become the Sammasambuddha. Because that was the vow people make, and so sincerely, and the condition has manifest. That's why after he took the mock rice, then he actually had a sign, because he made an aspiration. He said, if I'm destined to be enlightened, may nature show a sign. Then she actually, that bowl, after she ate, he just throw it into the, don't know what river, that river. I think it's Indus River or what. You know what happened? It flowed upstream. And then he knew, meant to be. It flowed upstream. It never flowed upstream. Then he determined that this sitting, not until he become enlightened, he will not arise from this seat. Even if his blood and sinus, everything dry up, he will not arise. And he was so confident, determined. That's why that night, he connect and became the Sammasambuddha. Then after that, for 7 weeks, Anasana, he actually was alone, reflecting and contemplating the beautiful Dhamma. First is the Bodhi tree. For 1 week, he grazed at the Bodhi tree. Then the second week, he contemplated and reflected on the dependent origination. And he saw all the beings, how they take birth and all those things. So, that 7 week, if he has not done that, that two teachers would have become enlightened. But because he spent 7 weeks doing nothing, just that thing, then by the time he finished, there was an understanding that this Dhamma that he has realized is too profound for normal living being to understand. What the living being understands is the logical one, which is the opposite of what he realized. So he doesn't want to share or teach because he said nobody will listen to him because it's like so contradictory. And then Sahampati, the Brahma, can read his thinking. So came down and appealed to him that there may be some who has little das who can understand your teaching. Then he reflected, he said, if these two teachers is still around that taught him, they can understand because they have that type of mind. Then he used his psychic, pure. This one is pure psychic, the byproduct that come after he become fully enlightened. Then he checked. One of them just passed away the night before. The other one, 1 week ago. It cannot be a coincidence. Means they must die before he come out to teach. So that's how the thing is connected. When you understand cause and effect, nature's law, condition arising, causal phenomena, when your wisdom is very profound, you will understand all this. Very fast on you understand. And nature's law is very powerful. It will operate in such a way that even you plan also, you cannot plan it so well. It has to be that way, means it has to be that way. Yeah, this line, when I went through my cultivation, I saw everything is meant to be. One by one just happened like that. No other way. And law of karma is you cannot play a fool with it. Not until you confront it. It is very powerful. That's why the Buddha used the word all evil you must avoid. And he has a reason for it. It's not a joke. Because if you don't take karma seriously, when you go through life, you will know. Because I saw it during the time when I was at the later part of my cultivation. When my cultivation progressed very fast, then it showed it to me. Immediately it arises. Immediately it arises. The thought manifests, immediately the fruition comes. Yeah. Very powerful. Until it like tell you in like in Hokkien, it's like that one. It's so powerful. And you cannot run. I saw the conditioning and I saw how karma hit people. And how it manifests. Immediately. And sometimes when the sign comes, you cannot stop. Even if I want to do something, I cannot. Because you cannot interfere. Because it's so powerful. But when there is condition to manifest and help, and then the condition will arise. And then easily it can be overcome or averted. Because in the past that being has done certain goodness. So there is condition. And then when there is condition, things will happen, manifest. Then somehow the sign will come. And then you will help. Otherwise you cannot. Because my nature is like that. It echo and flow. It never do anything that the thought want to do one. It cannot. Even somebody I know very well, close friend or what, cannot. People whom I don't know also, when got condition, I will help. Just like that. You ask me why. I cannot tell you why. Because the understanding is like that. Nature is like that. Wisdom is like that. You ask why means the thought. The thought always, why? You know what? You can read the sign, what? You can feel, why you don't want to help? You're not like that one. Very different. When you understand, it is very profound. Very profound. All of your action is no longer due to something. You act because there is condition to act. You help because there is condition to help. You don't help because you want to help. The one thing is a craving, is a desire, is a thought. It's a manifestation of the egoic mind. Yeah. That's why everything is condition arising, cause of phenomena, no reality. Only living being thinks that everything is so real. Me, I, my friend, Dhamma friend, parent, brother, sister, Why you don't want to help your own parents? No. So when you understand the Dhamma, the understanding will transform you and change you. Then you know it's not because they are your loved one. Then there is this intention to help because they are your loved one. And that is still help with condition. It's condition thinking, condition type of intention. If it's not related to you, you don't want to help. Understand? That's why they classify love in many levels. First is mundane love. Understand? I love you, you love me. When things go wrong, or when you grow old, or you no longer like what I thought you were, then I don't like you anymore. Then the other love is conditioned love. You love somebody because there is condition to love. My children, my daughter, I love. My parent, I love. My brother and sister, my good friend, I love. You can love easily. But not related, you find it so difficult to love. So that love is a conditioned love. But true love got no such thing. True love got no opposite. Love is just love. Love cannot have hatred. Love cannot have jealousy. Love cannot have a condition behind that love. You cannot qualify your love. So that's why later on, as you understand the Dhamma, as your wisdom grows, the way you act and do things totally different. There is no more like before thought-based. Thought-based is all from conditioning, from your memory, from your views, your opinion, your religious belief. All this, they have very powerful conditioning. And human beings act according to this conditioning. You will come to know later, you check back, everything you do is from your conditioning since your childhood until now. And if you want to change that conditioning, it's so difficult for human beings. Understand? Like your habits, your character, so difficult to change. Not until you develop understanding and wisdom, chances are you cannot change. You will repeat. And you will act the way you used to act. But the moment you transform, you also will be very surprised yourself. How come now I cannot do things like before already? Nobody tell you one. There is no thought, say, hey, what happened to you? Why are you like that now? No such thing. But the understanding will change you. Cannot means cannot already. And there is no need to explain why cannot. When you need to explain, it's on the thought already. 8:30, we better start. Okay, we will start the puja. So you compose your mind, develop the faith, the sadha, then the virya. Then you pay respect, mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we will start the puja. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sabba sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sabba sambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sabba sambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami, Sanghang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami, Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami, Tatiyampi buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānāti pātā vairammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādīnā dānā vairammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Kāmesu micchācārā vairammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Mūsāvādā vairammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sūrāmeraya majjhāpamātathāna vairammane sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Sādhu, sādhu, sādhu. Keep in respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Okay, very good evening to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. I think there are some who has gone to Thailand for a 10-day retreat at Ajahn Ananda, Rayong. Yeah, Ajahn Ananda. Yeah, Rayong. No, Anand. You can check the recording. You hear Ajahn Lo because you have been so conditioned by Ajahn Lo. I say Anand. So no problem. Sometimes when we listen, if we are not attentive, the thought will perceive it differently. So when you have been conditioned. So mindfulness has got many levels. So this case is very good. Because when you already have that perception, you are not attentive, so no. And then, like just now, she think I pronounce Ajahn Ajahn Lo, but everybody heard this Anand. All can check the recording. So there are quite a number from my Tuesday class when then they also come to Thursday class. I think Brother Song and the sister Yun Chan and Chui, then a few more. They have gone on a 10-day retreat. So this trip, they organize it separately. So I also don't know about the trip. They told me later after they have organized the trip. I think they were conditioned. Somehow one group of them want to go, so Sister Yun Chan, as usual, volunteer to organize. Then our next one is organized by Joyce. That one is Anandagiri, the October one. And this October one is going to be a very good and beautiful trip. It's going to be very, very memorable, meant to be, because there are many signs. A lot of things just happen. Then recently I sent out an old email. You better read through it, especially those who are going. Even if not going, you can read through and rejoice. The purpose and intent and the history behind how we had this affinity with Anandagiri through Ajahn Ajahn Lo. They were all outlined there. Then there are important pointers as to why we need to go on this trip and why I continue to organize this spiritual trip. It has been on for the past 20 over to 30 years. So during the early days of my cultivation, I realized all this spiritual trip helped me a lot, helped my nature a lot. So there were a lot of joy. Then as you travel with the faith, the Sadha Virya, your nature with the affinity of those cultivators, those places and the people there, together with the energy, everything, somehow, if it's meant to be, your nature will know. Then you will be there. Then everything will fall into place. Like, you are so blessed, so lucky. Then everything is like, all meant to be. Monks, great masters that, according to the Thai people, are so difficult to meet or come to what they call to meet up with. You somehow like hella lucky. You meet almost every one of them. And they are also beautiful, a cultivator, so beautiful a being. So because of that, you will come to understand many, many things. And every time I complete those trips, there is a lot of joy. But during the early day, you don't have what they call digital camera. You don't have internet to share. Like, you know what we did last time? We bring our own camera. You must buy film, no? 12, 24, or 36 one. Then sometimes you don't know how to load. Load wrongly. That thing didn't wind. So you think you finished 36, you open up, zero. Send to the shop. Camera, the guy at the photo shop. What happened? Your whole roll is not used, is it? But exposed already. Once a while you have this style problem. Yes, you have to really fit it in nicely. So you learn from everything. Then the photo, you got to go and develop. Then you see how many Dhamma friends you have to mark, tick. Then you got to order, then distribute. So difficult. Nowadays, you come back, download, next morning. Oh, see at midnight, already. So fast. So technology has helped in many ways. That's why, good or bad, it also very fast. So don't blame technology. The user of technology is important. Like your thought. Thought is neither wholesome or unwholesome. Wholesome or unwholesome depend on the user. Understand? So thought is like money. So if the user of thought is wholesome, money become wholesome. So when you understand that, you will never blame anything. You only develop the determination to train your mind. Then your faith in the Triple Gem. Then diligently you cultivate. Then when sati develop, stabilize, samadhi will come to be. Then sati, samadhi and panya, which is the last spiritual faculty, will blossom. So when you have sati, when you have mindfulness, it will pave the way for wisdom to arise. So sati, samadhi will lead to panya, which is wisdom. So that is also the focus of our meditation, our training here. That's why you are here, to train your mind, to develop its ability to be mindful. The mind that is mindful can be trained to be peaceful, to be silent, with just awareness within. And it will stabilize and become samadhi. So the spiritual faculty of sati, samadhi are very important for meditation, because it can give rise to wisdom, understanding, enlightenment, awakening. Okay? Of course, sadha and virya, the first two spiritual faculty, you can develop through the puja, then through your daily contemplation and reflection on who the Buddha is, how special he is, and what his teaching is all about, and how wonderful the teaching is, because it can bring about enlightenment in the here and the now. It can bring about great transformation, liberation from birth and death. It can bring about the noble life, which is the enlightened state, that can bring about beautiful living. Then life take a turn. Life becomes so meaningful instead of like before, huh? So full of stress, problem, fear, worry, anxiety. All of a sudden, life becomes meaningful, beautiful, so full of joy, so full of love, so full of meaning and compassion. Then you look forward to really, really live life to the fullest. Then you become a blessing to all of humanity, all of mankind. So this is what Dhamma can actually give rise to. So we are here together to train our mind to develop the spiritual faculty so that you can progress along the path of Dhamma, so that you can receive this understanding, awaken to it, and transform. Okay, so now we will start our meditation. For those who already know how to meditate, you can start. I will off the light. Then after that, for those who need instruction, I will give some short instruction. Then you can just relax body and mind, silent everything. Then train your mind. For those who already know how to meditate, no need to train. You straight away go into your meditation. You straight away relax and silent your mind. Then develop the vipassana, or what they call insight meditation, that you need to develop. For those who are still new, who still need instruction, I will give you some very simple, short instruction. Okay, relax body and mind. Make sure you have a stable sitting posture. Check your backbone, make sure it's straight. Then breathe in, breathe out normally. Relax body and mind, completely relax. Close your eye. Then use the mind sweeping method to reverse your heedless thinking. You feel, you don't think, you just feel. Feel your forehead. If there is any tension, any tightness or any stress within, you just silence everything and relax, relax and relax. Feel your forehead soothingly. Relax. Then you move on to your eye muscle. Feel it again, soothingly relax. Then you move on to your facial muscle. Each and every strand of it, make sure it's relaxed. Then in order to assist you further, you can visualize yourself facing a mirror, radiating a radiant smile. Smiling to yourself. When you can radiate this radiant smile, you have joy. When there is joy, there is happiness. You are relaxed naturally. Then after that, you can combine with metta or loving kindness meditation. You can recite following what I recite. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. Feel the well-being and happiness deep within your heart, your entire being. Then you continue to read it. May this body and mind of mine too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May it too be without danger, without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. May it keep itself happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within my heart. Then you can radiate this same metta to all your loved ones. May all my loved ones to be well and happy, well and happy. May they all too be free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all too be free from all harm and danger. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untroubled. and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then you can radiate this metta to all Kayanamitta friends, Dhamma friends. May all Dhamma friends, Kayanamitta, and all beings within this vicinity, known and unknown, seen and unseen, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May their mind states too be without enmity, without ill will and untrouble, and may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. Then may all beings within the entire of Subang Jaya, Selangor State, Malaysia, Southeast Asia, Asia, Mother Earth, our solar system, our galaxy, and the entire universe, may they all too be well and happy, free from all suffering, both physical and mental suffering. May they all to be free from all harm and danger too. And may their mind states to be without enmity, without ill will and on trouble. And may they keep themselves happy and peaceful always. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within their hearts. By now you should be more calm and more peaceful. So you just silence everything. Then bring your attention back to your facial muscle. Just feel. Don't think, feel. Relax everything. Feel your whole facial muscle soothingly relax. Then feel your neck, shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Relax them all. Then move your attention to your chest area or your heart area. This is a very important location within your form, your physical body. This is where your heartbeat arises and passes away. This is where the life force arises and passes away. This is the seat of consciousness. From here, everything comes to be. So you just silence your mind completely. Feel. Don't think, just feel. You can detect any heartbeat or any vibration. You just silence your mind and stay there. Just allow it to be. For those who are new, if your mindfulness is still not developed, you are not sensitive, then you just relax. Like you feel your forehead, you feel your heart area, and just relax every part. Then you move on to your stomach, feel, relax. Abdomen, do the same, feel, relax. Buttock, feel, relax. Leg, feel, relax. Then you can reverse the whole cycle. From your leg, you feel, you relax every part. Buttock, do the same. Abdomen, do the same. Stomach, do the same. Then your heart. Again, you just feel and relax every part. Then you move on to your shoulder, hand, back to shoulder. Feel and relax. Neck, facial muscle, eye muscle, and forehead. By now, you should be more calm and more peaceful. Sati should be there. Now, you can anchor this sati to your breathing or any object of meditation that you are familiar with, so that this sati or mindfulness can be stabilized. For those who are doing anapanasati, it's very simple. This is also what the Buddha used to train the mind. Anapana is in and out breathing. Sati is mindfulness. So anapana sati is mindfulness of this in and out breath. So like you feel your forehead, now you feel in front of your nostril. You silence your mind and just feel. When you detect your breathing, you just aware. Like the Buddha's advice, breathing in, the mind is aware of the breathing. breathing out, the mind is aware of the breathing. Means the breath and the mindfulness move as one without thought. Every time the mind wanders off, just patiently come back to the breathing. Maintain awareness in front of your nostril. Train. Not long, if you are patient enough, anapanasati will come to be. Your mind state will transform. You will become very calm and very peaceful when anapanasati starts to develop. When there is mindfulness of this in and out breath without thought, piti will arise. Piti is a type of spiritual joy, spiritual calmness. You have to continue to relax and allow it to be. Then the piti will stabilize and become more and more subtle, more and more subtle, until at some point it becomes so fine, you will experience sukha. Sukha is a very blissful state of mind. Then as you continue to relax and silence your mind, sukha will transform too, until later on it becomes pasati. Pasati is tranquility of mind or stillness of mind. It is the silent mind, the meditative mind. So you, when you can meditate until you are able to realize that very fine state of pasati, then I will rejoice, because that is the training you need to do. After that, your sati will be very stable. Then you can just silence your mind and stay anywhere. The mindfulness is so clear, you will pick it up. Even your subtle breathing will come back to you. Then when you stay at your heart, you will be able to detect your heartbeat without the stethoscope. You just silent, you will come. Or any part of your body, you will feel the vibration all around. So you just continue to train your mind this way. Then after that, you can slowly allow it to settle down. Then just silent. Then from that silent mind, you will come to understand very clearly all of the mind state that arise and pass away within your own form and mind. Then you will come to understand clearly, who are you, what are you? What is this five aggregate of form and mind that the Buddha talk about? Then all of the essential Dhamma or teaching that he has taught you will become very clear. Okay, now I will let you continue develop the meditation. Then I will ring the bell in about 20 minutes time. Still want to meditate, you can continue. For the seven hour, slowly, mindfully come out of meditation. So by now you should know that we are here to develop the understanding of the Dhamma. For those who still need to train your mind, you train. For those who still heedless, you need to decondition your heedless thinking. You start from the mind sweeping method. After your puja, your faith will be there, sadha virya. Then when you pay respect mindfully, sati will be developed. But they are not stable. So you train. You develop anapanasati to train this mind, mind sweeping method to train this mind. Then for those who already know how to meditate, your mind is already trained, sati is already there, you straight away move into the meditation. Means you straight away develop the silent mind, then silent everything. The key to meditation is just four things. Maybe for those who are new, I will repeat this again. You pay attention to these four things. These four things are very conducive for you to develop the meditation. Four important pointers. To develop. The meditation. When you're already starting to develop the meditation, train the mind. After you have developed some form of sati, then you need to recall to mind these four things. The first one is very important. What is the first thing that you need to do in meditation? Your mind state and body must be in a state of what? Relax. So the first thing about meditation is relax. If you don't know how to relax, you cannot meditate. Body and mind relax, remember? It must be in perfect harmony. Because this body and mind, they must be in a state of relaxed inner awareness for the meditation to start. Then as you proceed, this relaxation is key. It has to be done at every stage of your meditation. Even after anapanasati develop, then you realize your mind become more and more calm, then suddenly you experience rapture or mental peace. They call piti. Piti is a byproduct of meditation. When your mind is very relaxed and mindful without thought, very calm, then this piti will arise. Piti is a spiritual bliss, spiritual calmness. Sorry, not bliss. It's a spiritual calmness, spiritual rapture, spiritual peace born of a trained mind. So when piti arises, you must remember to relax. Come back to the state of relax. Otherwise, you will go into absorption. That's why you continue to just relax your mind and allow the anapanasati to be. Then allow your piti to become more and more refined. As you relax more, piti will continue to relax and become more and more fine. Then you will develop what they call sukha. From piti, you will move into sukha. What is sukha? From the word sukha. Malay word means what? Huh? Happy mind. But here in Pali it means bliss. Really blissful, very, very blissful. You are in a state of bliss, really, bliss. Like you experience heavenly bliss, really, true. And it's so intense. Understand? I cannot describe to you, but it's so beautiful inside. Understand? Then there is this, from joy, this is sometimes explained as spiritual joy. Piti is spiritual joy. Spiritual joy, it becomes bliss. Really blissful, very blissful. You experience that mind state, and you will like to meditate when you experience this. But these are byproduct of meditation. We meditate not to attach, cling, and grasp onto this beautiful mind state. Understand? They are byproduct. It comes with the meditation. They are good sign of progress. But it doesn't mean that you look forward to this state repeating itself, thinking that this is good meditation. No. The real meditation is to develop wisdom, not all this. But this will come as a byproduct. So every time when you have piti, continue to relax. Remember to relax body and mind. Then it will become more and more refined. Then it becomes sukha. Then after sukha, you continue to relax again. Every stage. Relaxation is key. Understand that? Can follow that? Yeah? If you forget to relax, your meditation will stagnate. I tell you. Then the other thing is, have joy. Smile. Smile more. Understand that? I sometimes in retreat especially, I realize a lot of you are very serious, understand? Too serious and too tense when you meditate. Oh, I look at your face like you are very serious inside. So, if you like that, you cannot develop the real meditation. You have to actually relax and then the joy will come. Then this radiant smile inside. And the best one is the half smile, understand? Initially, the joy let it come out. That's why I read it more and more metta. Then there is more and more joy. Then the face become more and more radiant. Then this joy, later on, will become settled down into a half smile, like you see on the Buddha image, like that, understand? It's in a state of equanimity. But there is what they call peace. There is happiness, joy, but not the what they call vigorous type. There is this half smile, very relaxed and a lot of joy, a lot of peace within. So your mind state must be in those states. You can only develop it when you are relaxed. So the first important pointer is relax. Second one is what? Second one is what? Aware. You know what is aware, isn't it? Aware is just aware, sati. Before the knowing. No thought, nothing. So you don't go and label. Don't go and note. Don't go and verbalize. Don't go and create concept. Understand? So this one is equivalent to silent. Understand? When your mind is quiet and silent, it's aware. Naturally aware. Even when you do anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out of breath, when the breath and the mind move as one in perfect harmony, it is very relaxed, very peaceful, very calm. There is no thought. It's just awareness. Then you are silent. And because you are silent, you can experience the piti, the sukha. Then later, you continue to relax. Every time you aware, you continue to relax. As you relax, what happens? You become more and more at ease. Understand? When you are relaxed, there is peace, there is joy. There is no stress, no tension. Your mind don't try to focus or concentrate or do something. Because when you are aware, you don't do anything. You're just silent. Then there is this relaxed state that will make you very, very alert. Because you're very relaxed and attentive, alert. You have to strike a balance. Then when you can do that, as it stabilizes, you have to maintain this awareness. Third one is what? Huh? 24-hour awareness. Technically, you have to do it. Later on, even in your sleeping state. 24-hour awareness. That is your ultimate goal. You cannot do until like that. You must at least able to develop the daily mindfulness until more or less throughout the day when you are awake, waking moment. You are mindful. That is the beginning. That is the beginning of real meditation. Where you can be aware or mindful most of the time throughout the day. That is the beginning of real meditation. Then finally, you're supposed to be continuous mindfulness. This is what I mean by upacara samadhi, where your mindfulness becomes continuous, understand? No more the moment to moment, understand? Last time I remember, I heard from one of the, it's a lay person, he was teaching meditation, the early days, I think early 80s, I think. I remember he mentioned this, he said, mindfulness is like that, he said. He said, you note. Every moment of noting is mindfulness. You listen, you tell me whether it's correct or not, or whether that is the way to meditate or not. Then he said, it's like you keep account. Every moment of noting is mindfulness. So if you do enough of this, it's like merit making. Then you put into your account book and say, how many moments of mindfulness? You do until one day, when you have enough, then you become enlightened. That is what he told people. So they go and note. And every moment they note, they got one moment of mindfulness. Then they try to accumulate this moment of mindfulness. Thinking that one day, after you accumulated enough, you trigger off the enlightenment. When I heard that, I got a shock. But there is nothing you can do, because at that time, I think the understanding was not there. People believe what was being spoken. So what is more important is, your mindfulness, you must train it until it becomes a continuous flow, understand? Continuous flow is not moment to moment, moment to moment. If it's a moment to moment, then one moment, the next moment, then these two are different from last week. Last Thursday is one thought, then the next thought. Understand? Then if you have the ability to develop the space between thought, then you have this space, which is your mindfulness, or your awareness. Understand that? Where this space is without thought, is peace, silence, tranquility, and stillness. Whereas if you develop sati, it's the other way around. Understand that? What happens is, you got one moment of awareness. This one is one thought. So this one become one moment of awareness. Or let's say sati. Then next moment. Second moment. Oh, sati. Means your mind is silent. Understand not? Silent? Silent. Can follow that? Can follow that? Let's say, don't use the word note. You're aware. Then you're aware. What happened to the space between? What happened? Let's say you manage to be aware without thought, aware without thought. But because you do moment to moment, what happened to this space? Yeah? You think a lot. So, when you got moment to moment, Kanika Samadhi is like that. Understand? You think you're aware. Understand? Yeah. You think, this moment I'm aware this, next moment I'm aware that. But actually, your thought is active. Understand? And the space between is not without thought. It's active, heedless thinking. That's why your mindfulness cannot be continuous. Understand? You have to develop until this space become more and more, more and more, more and more, until you hardly have any thought. And this can be done. Space between thought needs to be lengthened, widened by itself, naturally, through training the spiritual faculty of sati, until sati become very stable, until it becomes samadhi. Samadhi means what? Yeah? Samadhi means what? Yeah? Collected and unwavering. So when your mind is collected and unwavering, I ask you one question. What happened to your mind? It does not stir, isn't it? Correct or not? It does not think. Understand or not? That's why with sati, when you stabilize, become samadhi, you have a lot of space between thought. Understand or not? You hardly think. At the most, you perceive only. Understand or not? Understand or not? You perceive, but no proliferation after that. You know what is that. You perceive, but you move on. That's why you just aware, 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 perceive, aware, perceive, aware. It's not like last time, heedless thinking. Can follow that? You slowly have to understand it, because after you have developed some form of sati, you have to go into the refinement of sati. You have to know how it can be done and how are you going to develop it. So this one you understand. This space cannot come about if there is no samadhi. Understand? Remember last time Engbi asked the question? Can samadhi be developed in the daily life? Is Engbi around? It's in the transcript, isn't it? Then I explained to you that. That's why you thought all the while it's only informal meditation. But later on, when she asked the question, it's in the transcript. Yeah, I forgot which transcript already. Is it the 12th September? Yeah, I think that one. Yeah, it's meant to be. It's inside that book on meditation that I asked you all to read. You go and read. Yeah. So, this, what they call samadhi, if you can stabilize your sati during formal meditation, then it becomes samadhi. Because when your mind develops from piti to sukha, then you continue to relax, it will become pasati. This one is the silent mind, the meditative mind. This one is the silent mind, the meditative mind. Because this one is stillness, tranquility or stillness of mind. Tranquility or stillness of mind. This is the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. This is the mind that is in sati, naturally, on its own. When the mind enters sati, it enters pasati. That's why this is the enlightenment factor. This one is an enlightenment factor. Enlightenment factor. This one is also an enlightenment factor. Whereas this one is not. Understand that? Asana. Can follow that? The first enlightenment factor is what? Sati. After sati, you can use it to investigate Dhamma. Understand? That's why Dhamma Vichaya is the second enlightenment factor. Then when you investigate into the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught you, like Dhammapada verse 1 and 2, verse 21, 22, 23, then about the essential Dhamma, three evil roots, yeah? The five spiritual faculty, the five hindrance, the dependent origination, the four noble truths. When you realize that they all stand up to investigation, what happened to your mind? There is a lot of faith in there. There's a lot of confidence in the Buddha and his teaching in there. Then it will drive you to meditate, is there? What is that force that drives you to meditate? Eh? Virya. Virya is the third enlightenment factor. That's why it follows a sequence. When sati stabilized, develop, you can investigate them. If it stand up to investigation, there is a lot of faith. That's why your spiritual faculty, your sada, become unshakable. Understand not? Unshakable, become balas. Means you are very near to becoming a sotapan. Understand not? Then after that, it will drive you to meditate. Virya. This is the third enlightenment factor. Understand not? This is first enlightenment factor. Yeah. Second one is Dhamma Vichaya. Okay? Then after this virya arise, what happened? Yeah? You start to cultivate your sati more seriously. Understand not? You start to stabilize it. Then you experience piti. Understand not? So piti is the fourth enlightenment factor. Understand not? Understand not? Can follow? Yeah. Then when piti stabilize, it will go through sukha. If you don't attach, that's why you continue to relax and let things be and silence your mind. And don't be deluded by it. Don't fall into the trap of good meditation. Beautiful meditative state. If you fall into this trap, you will develop jhana. You will want it repeated. Yeah. Then you will go into psychic field or you will attach to all this thing. Then you forget about your meditative focus, which is to develop wisdom, enlightenment factor. Then you stagnate here. Yeah. But if you understand, you continue to relax, just like I told you. Yeah. You continue to relax. Here you have to continue to relax. Then you will experience sukha. Sorry, you will experience pasati. Then when you experience pasati, by then, your mind state will become so tranquil, so still, that everything becomes so subtle. There is hardly any movement. Even your heartbeat becomes very, very still, very subtle. Your breathing becomes very subtle, like no more breathing. And I believe those who do rising, falling, it also become very subtle. You cannot feel it. Then last time, I remember you all were told to do, what were you all told to do when there is no more breathing? Or no more feeling? You cannot feel. Everything becomes so subtle. Sitting and touching. You go and do that, you go and try. Your mind come out again. Then you cannot realize positive. You can only realize positive if continue to relax and silent. Relax and silent. You continue to relax and silent. Don't do anything. The moment you do, thought arise. When thought arise, you can never stabilize the awareness. This is to transform this awareness, sati, until it becomes more and more refined. You reach the higher state of sati, a very refined type of sati. Then when your mind is in this state, the mind is in sati. Understand? Means no thought, just aware, silent. Yeah. So this is the silent mind. This is the meditative mind. So you have to use this mind in your daily life. That's why when you stabilize it in your meditation, you have to make use of it to live life so that this pasati become a part of you throughout the day in life. And this one can be stabilized because somehow 24 years ago, I was able to do it. Nobody taught me. And I know how to go through all this. Yeah. Nobody taught me. Yeah. I just silent. Then I continue to relax and silent. Then what happened was, this thing becomes so subtle until my breathing, the very subtle breathing. The moment I lay my awareness there, it becomes like so clear to me again. No? Like that subtle breathing inside there, there is a lot of very fine breathing. And you can be moment to moment, continuously, fully aware. And then that one, like internal breathing, anasana. You don't breathe at all, anasana. But you can never die. You can never suffocate. That thing is very funny. Then I like whole day, no breath. I just aware, silent. Then after a while, this one becomes so quiet, so still. Then I can like place this mind anywhere inside my body. And I can detect all the vibration. That's why when I reach my heart there, I realize all the vibration, the heartbeat, everything becomes so clear. Then I just settle down, silent, everything. Then I realize the vibration of the heartbeat become more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more and more quiet, until finally, like, no more heartbeat, everything still. Yeah. And it can be done. Yeah. And you can just anchor there with general spacious awareness, great clarity. Then at any other sense or anything that arises is aware. The mind state, condition arising, the movement of the aggregate and the thought, every one of it, you can see very clearly happening within your own form and mind. Then all of the Dhamma, the Four Noble Truths, Dependent Origin, everything, you start to see them. Yeah. You don't need to look for them in the book. It all arises within the meditation. That in your daily life, you start to see your mental intention, your mental state, your cunningness, your deceitfulness, all the subtle defilement behind, all you start to see. In the past, you never see. They are there, so gross, so prominent, but you never see. But as your mind transforms, even the subtle one, the subtle conceit or deceitfulness, yeah, all this, you will come to experience them and understand that they are still there. And you will know how to root them out one by one, one by one. Yeah. That's how the real meditation actually finally falls into place. Yeah. And finally, it will lead you to the 24-hour state of meditation. And it can be done. You, like, no need to sleep. You can go into your unconscious state and fully aware from the nature. The body can rest, snore, you fully aware. Then this body, when it starts to create subconscious dream, the awareness can be aware. Yeah. And it can follow. And thought has respond to memory. It can see everything. Then everything can just come out from there. Then when you wake up, it's like you never sleep. The same awareness leading to that moment come out. And you are very fresh. Like you never sleep. Actually, no need to wash face also. But you must brush your teeth. Huh? We are after one night. But you are very fresh. Yeah. That's why 24-hour meditation is possible. You will go through that phase. Yeah. But you don't have to maintain that state. It's only the cultivation period. You will go through those phases. And you will understand them very clearly. Yeah. Then the last one is where very few people can teach you or let you understand is the fourth one is trust. But you don't worry. This part you will never do until later. Yeah? Until you can detect your gateway. The gateway to your nature. Yeah? Your true mind. Your true nature. This is internal meditation. Not from external, it's internal, through your gateway. That one later, when you all, some of you have this ability, then you can come and discuss with me. Then I can explain to you more detail and teach you how to do. This one is called trust. Trust means no more doing. No mind, no thought, nothing. Trust that nature. Let that nature do. That nature inside you is already intelligent. It already has the understanding. That's why you will know what to do. And that pure energy. Once you go through the gateway, all energy dissolve into it and become pure energy. And that pure energy is intelligent. It will know what to do. It will open the area that it needs to open according to its intelligence. And you just aware and silent inside, and you can understand everything that is going on. How that pure energy develops the transformation from within, and how that internal transformation of consciousness come to be, and how your consciousness become more and more refined, more and more, until finally your mundane mind collapse. Because it becomes so fine, this mundane mind, which is so gross, it cannot withstand that fine vibration, it collapses. Yeah. And during that time, you become so beautiful. You're like one layer of consciousness, the very gross layer of consciousness just disappears. Draw. Yeah. Then this nature shine forth. Then like, you can have 24-hour awareness. The awareness nature, the true mind, just shine forth like that, because like the cloud missing. The whole thing just shine forth. And then during that time, you will be full of surprise. Like you never see before. How come last time you can never see? All of a sudden you see. Things that you never see before, but nothing has changed. Huh? Only internally the thing transformed. Then this thing happened. Then suddenly, all of nature's truth, all of nature's what they call reality, characteristics, the three universal characteristics of impermanence, suffering, state, and non-self, they are everywhere in the midst of life and nature. That's why I always ask that question, why can't you see? For those who see, they always see, every moment, every instant. Yeah. That's how your mind becomes like that. That true nature shine forth and transform completely. Yeah. So this one, later. Yeah? Okay. So the first three is very important. As you meditate, these three, always remember, learn how to remind yourself to relax at every stage. As you go through piti, sukha, pasati. Even in samadhi, you must also relax. Okay. Then, always remember, meditation is about awareness, not thought, not verbalization. The moment you're silent and aware, the silent mind can understand many things. It will awaken to all the truth, all the reality. And it will understand everything by itself, without the thought. Okay? Can follow that? Yeah. Then, 24 hours is, you try your very best to develop this continuous mindfulness until throughout the day you are mindful and aware. And you will go through that phase. But remember, when you go through this phase, don't be complacent. A lot of people got trapped here. They became complacent. You know what they think? The thought will come in and interfere. The book say, my teacher say, when your mindfulness is continuous, like throughout the day you are mindful, or is it the arahant mind is like that? So you think you are arahant already. Then you get stuck here. Asana. Asana. That is one of the 10 defilements of insight. That's why all this piti, sukha, pasati, they are defilements of insight. If you attach to them, they may be enlightenment factor, but if you don't know how to use them, you attach to them, you become complacent. It becomes a defilement of insight. You know, insight knowledge is beautiful and lead to enlightenment. But it's a defilement of insight, understand? It's enlightenment factor, but you don't know how to use it, like sati. You don't know how to use it, then it fails to become samasati, understand? It's only samasati when you use it to cultivate noble eightfold path, understand? Leading to the wisdom. Leading to the understanding of the Dhamma. leading to the penetrative insight into phenomena, the universal characteristics, all those things. Okay? So this is what I want to share with you tonight. Then together with last Thursday, this will complete the full picture of what you need to understand. Okay? Can follow that? Good. Sadhu. So now we can open up for Q&A. So now you can report your meditation. Then you can ask me question too. Okay, I have a drink. Then you all ask question or report meditation. Anybody? Pass the mic. Yes.
Just now, before we start the
session, I know. Pre-session, you asked me some questions.
You're saying that love. Love with condition means that it's my son, then I love him. You know?
No, there is a condition behind that love, understand? It's a condition love. Condition love means it's not pure love, understand? I love because there is a condition behind why I love, understand? Yeah,
that's a reason behind.
Not only reason, there is a condition behind.
Okay.
Like, because it's my children, understand? That's why I can easily love them. Or I love them because they are my children, understand? But condition means sometimes like you adopt a child, understand? It's not your child, understand? But because of the condition, you are given that condition to adopt that child, then you love that child so much, understand? So it's called a condition love. Sometimes it may not be a reason, but it is a condition behind why you love, understand? What is your question more important?
My question is, does love have a feeling?
What is feeling? You ask yourself that question. What is feeling?
I have encounter.
Yeah.
There's love. There's. It's settled. It's nothing.
Can you describe?
Describe.
You mean when you fall in love?
No. It's not that.
That's why you have to describe what you mean by. You have that. Feeling, what feeling is that?
It's not a feeling or something. It's just that it's like it's something. How say? It's some.
You give an example will be easier.
Example.
Like the situation you are in.
I want to ask whether this love is like trust, the trust that I'm.
Because you haven't described to me.
I don't know
what you. You sure have something. To lead to there, what went through that arise that feeling? What happened to you? You sure must be able to describe it, isn't it?
I don't know how to describe it, but I just say what I'm trying to say is I don't have that kind of feeling. Not that you love the children, the love. That kind of love.
You explain the situation you are in. What situation are you in? Are you in a meditative state? Or in a retreat? Or when you are thinking?
At the time of the awareness.
You see, you have to be more specific and clear because words are words and so on. When you don't understand the word, you use the word at the time or when. Awareness, no thought one, understand? It's just aware. There is no feeling, nothing, understand?
This is what I'm saying.
Then there is no feeling, understand? But there is not love, understand? The mind that is silent, that is aware, is not love, understand? When you have love, there is no opposite, you can understand.
Alright, I go back and.
You cannot think about it. When you think, it's from the thought, understand?
No, I was not thinking at that time. I know.
You see, wait, I qualify you. When you say you are not thinking, and yet you feel something, and you try to describe that thing, there must be thought. Without thought, you cannot have this type of question. Without thought, you will understand it there and then, and the question ceases to be. It's not easy when you approach it from the thought. So what is important is, I don't want you to be like in a state because I know what you are trying to achieve. You think that is trust. I tell you it's far, far away. Well, that one nothing to do with love and nothing to do with anything. It's just silent. The trust is you know that nature is already intelligent. You just trust means you don't do anything. There's nobody there at all. No thought, nothing. It's not even a feeling or what. When you're just aware, it got nothing to do with this trust. This trust is when you locate the gateway. And this gateway can never be located until your mind is completely still. You must realize some form of sainthood enlightenment. At least one moment of cessation. It has to come from the cessation to detect that gateway. If there is no cessation, even pure awareness, you cannot detect the gateway. Understand? Huh? That's why don't try to compare and think that is it one form of trust or is it trust? Forget about it. Understand? Huh? It's world apart. Well, this one you can never touch until you have gone through at least one moment of cessation, nibbana experience. Means at least one of the sainthood experiences. One of the four stages of sainthood. You have to go through that. Then only you can have that possibility of touching that one. Normally those who reach there, they are beyond arahant already, I tell you. Otherwise you cannot, very difficult. And by the time they reach that, most of them are 80 years old or beyond. Seldom you meet one that is very young. Yeah. So that's why I say the fourth one, don't worry about it until later. Because nowadays condition can be very different. Certain beings when they come, they have their past. They are very, very unique. And these are the people who can. And there are some among our Kayanamita. Yeah, I can tell you. Yeah. And they can penetrate. Yeah. So, don't worry about all this. Allow yourself the time. When the time comes, then nature will understand. Yeah. Then when you are ready, when you describe, or when you explain or share, my nature will know. Understand? Yeah. Okay? I hope I had explained to you clear enough. It's normal for most cultivators to have that type of thinking or line of thinking. Because you use thought. So you try to relate. Yeah. And many people had told me, yeah, Bratio, I think I experienced what you described. Very, very frequently you hear that. Especially sometimes in the retreat. I think, Brother Teo, I experienced what you described just now. It's the same. No? Then just like before we start, I explained to Joyce. She talked to somebody. Then she said, this person got the Dhamma. No? I said, yeah. I say, initially, like a lot of things also got Dhamma. No? Because your understanding clarity is not deep enough or not stable enough. Then when you hear a lot of this Dhamma word and the description, wow, like a lot of Dhamma there. So, early day of my cultivation also I went through that. But later on as I cultivate, I realized when the thing become clear, then I read the book again. Cannot read it. The book is totally different. It's like a lot of things that is written there, you know, because you have become so clear, you know, and so precise. You know. So any, what they call, use a word that don't have that clarity, you straight away detect or no. Means this person haven't realized. The author haven't realized. He only quote or what they call command. Then sometimes when you listen, you also will know that cultivator's understanding still haven't gone through that phase of what they call awakening. Otherwise, they won't speak like that. They won't share like that. Then you will become very clear. And then that time you realize Dhamma is so, the real Dhamma is so difficult to come by. So rare. The slightest thing you explain or mention, those who have gone through, they will know. You haven't realized it yet. You haven't seen it yet. That's why they can advise you. But be patient. The key word is patient. That's why you read in the Sutta, Kanti Paramang what? Kanti Paramang what? Kanti Paramang Sukang, which is Nibbana. Nibbana is, means patience leads to Nibbana. Anasana. Kanti Paramang Sukang. Kanti Paramang Nibbana. So you must have a lot of patience. That's why the 10 perfection to become a Sama Sambuddha, one of them is Kanti. Anasana. Patience. You need to be very patient. The cultivation sometimes take very long. You look at Amitabha Buddha, 12 aeons. You know how long. Without that understanding and the patience behind, even Sakyamuni, wisdom way, it took him 3¾ Asaṅkhaya Kalpas. 3¾ world cycle, and that is so long. But when you have patience, patience leads to Nibbana. Understand? That Kanti is not suppression. Understand? Not control. But it's patience born of understanding. You are very patient because you understand you cannot hurry. Cultivation really, really take time. Understand? Perfection take time. Then understanding take time to stabilize. The insight can be instantaneous, sudden enlightenment, yes. But after that, the wisdom, although is there, but it's very, very, what they call, raw, understand? Means it's not stabilized yet, understand? You have it, but you cannot express it, you cannot share it with people, understand? The sudden enlightenment is like that. All of a sudden you awaken. The wisdom is there. But you cannot describe it. You cannot explain it. You cannot share. Understand? That's why you need a Sammasambuddha to share. To create a sasana. I can share, you know why. The sasana is there. The Dhamma is there. Understand? I don't have to go and create and research and R&D. That's why I can share. Understand? I tell you, without that prototype, I should say near to impossible. Self-realize can, but to put it in word and teach like that, cannot. Without the prototype, cannot. Really cannot. Yeah. And with the prototype, so simple. No? Because all the teaching is there. No? Then you already gone through. You just make use of them to explain. No? And it's so clear. No? It come out so beautiful. But without all this prototype, I tell you, it will be so difficult. No? Not only difficult for me, no? I think it's more difficult for you all to accept. No? You know what happened? No? You will look at my form. No? This guy is just a lay person. No? What nonsense is he talking? Not in the textbook one. No such Dhamma one. No? But luckily got the prototype, the Buddha's teaching. Then I can quote here, quote there, and explain to you. Then you find it maybe meaningful because it fall into place. Understand? But let's say the Four Noble Truths not there. Noble Eightfold Path not there. Sati Patthana not there. Three Evil Roads, five hindrance, five spiritual, all not there. Then I come and tell you in my own word how I do it. I tell you, you will sure walk away. You're a crazy guy. Because there is nothing for you to hold on to. Understand or not? Can follow that? That's why without the sasana, it's very difficult for this teaching to come by. And you all should actually thank your lucky star, your good karma, to be born as a human being, to be born during the Buddha sasana, and to be a Buddhist who walk the path of Dhamma. With all this in place, you miss this window, I tell you, it's going to take you a long, long time before you have another chance of this encounter. Understand? Treasure it. Cherish it. Make full use of it. Never allow it to slip by anymore. The Mahayana got a very beautiful way of describing this. He said, Zhen sen nan de. You know, Zhen sen is this human form. It's very difficult to be born as a human being. Then, Fo Fa, Geng Nan Wen. Fo Fa is the Buddha Dharma. He said the Buddha Dharma is even more difficult to encounter. Because the sasana is just this 5,000 years. No? Means you got another 2,400 years. After that, the sasana is supposed to disappear. And just imagine over the entire aeons, world cycle. There are only maybe three Buddha, certain world cycle. Certain world cycle only one. Certain world cycle only two. Ours is lucky. We supposed to have four. One more Maitreya come before this world cycle finish, disappear. So, you know one world cycle is how long or not? It's aeons, no? Not billions of years, no, aeons. No? And you only got four of this window of 5,000 years. So to be born during the sasana is a very, very rare occasion. And to be born as a human being is even more rare. The analogy given by the Buddha is what? Like a blind turtle. No? He never said a turtle, no, blind turtle, no, floating in the ocean. No? Then there is an eggshell, with an opening slightly bigger than the turtle head, floating in the ocean. No? Then every 100 years, this turtle surface once, no, to put the head through the water. And the chance of this turtle, every 100 year coming out once, to hit that turtle shell with the opening intact and go into the head. And that is the probability of becoming a human being. Even I put you in a swimming pool and ask the turtle 100 years come out. It's also so difficult to go in. No? This one is in the ocean. You just ask yourself, what is the chance? Probability. Yeah. Of course, if you use your thought, then you end up like the way she asked question. I want to have baby so easy. Get married. Born already. Why you say give birth to a human being so difficult? Correct or not? Logical or not? Logical or not? Just get married. You can have children already. Why is it so difficult to create or give birth to a living being? Or human being? Not difficult, is it? But do you know what the Buddha meant or not? The probability to be born as a human being. You know, our human race on this planet Earth, you think 6-7 billion is a lot. You know the petas, the animals, the insects, the amphibians in the ocean. They are billions and billions and billions more than you. That's why in terms of probability, within the 31 plane of existence, to be born as a human being, that probability is really, really so little. And don't take for granted that to be born as a human being is very easy. You see the whole universe. There are only few of these places where the planet is conducive to have life, a human form or human birth are possible. Do you understand? All the others, they are all non-human. And to be born as a human to have this type of civilization and this type of brain and form of mind is indeed very, very rare. Very, very rare. And we take for granted. We come here, we somehow complain about life. You are so lucky and you somehow complain. Why life treat me so unfairly? You somehow curse heaven and hell. Or why God is so unfair? You are so blessed to be born a human being, but you never make use of it. Okay? Understand? Oh, we still got 20 minutes. Anybody else? Ah, yes, Pastor Mike. I forgot her name. Kelly. Yeah, Kelly, yes. Yes. Push the thing up, all the way up.
Bratio.
Yes.
Today I'm very happy when you touch the topic on 24 hours of awareness.
Oh, sadhu. I rejoice.
Yeah, this question I have liked to ask Bratio many times, but I didn't really have the opportunity.
Oh, good.
So I would like Bratio to guide me how to practice this 24 hours of awareness.
This one cannot be practiced. So don't be shocked by the answer. Because I am telling you the truth, Anasana. Mindfulness cannot be practiced, Anasana. You understand? Not? You cannot practice something that is already inside you. Isn't it? Like you want to teach the fish how to swim. You cannot. Isn't it? You ask the fish how you swim. Swim lah. Because they are born to swim. Anasana. So when you are a child, you ask the child, how come you can be aware? The child say, my brain is empty, understand? That's why I just aware, understand? That's why the child see things differently, very innocent. No word, no concept, no label, nothing. He see things as they are, understand? That is what your true mind is all about. Before the conditioning, before all this thought, everything comes in. So mindfulness is to decondition all this heedless thinking. Come back to your true mind. That's why you develop the spiritual faculty. That's why the focus is, the Buddha say, don't worry about the hindrance, understand? Don't worry about the conditioning. All this, they are a result of you lack this, understand? Because you don't have the spiritual faculty, that's why this one develop, understand? I give you an analogy, you understand? Let's say you got a small garden in your house. What will happen to your garden if you don't take care? The lalang, the wild grass, all this will grow all over there. So you have seen the abandoned house there. Correct? Nobody stay on. What happened? It become worse and worse and worse and worse. Understand? Then everything start to leak. Understand? That's why you read the Dhammapada. An ill-thatched roof. Means the roof that is not properly maintained and repaired. The rain, everything come in there. All these hindrances will come in. The evil root, everything will come in. So it's like your mind. If you don't take care, you are heedless. It's just like it's an abandoned house, a devil's workshop. Understand? That's why the untrained mind is like a devil's workshop. So if you are not heedful, if you don't develop the spiritual faculty to have the faith, sadha, virya, then the mindfulness to take care of your mind. Understand? Take care of your mind means what? Any lalang, any what they call that will lead to all those negativity, you have to clear it, isn't it? You have to pull it out, isn't it? You have to root it out. Then you have to clean up your garden, isn't it? Then you have to plant the right grass, anasana, the right plant, everything. So when you train your mind, it's like you cultivate your mind ground, anasana. Your mind ground that is peaceful, tranquil, aware, wholesome, will be very healthy, anasana, because you plant all the right thought, anasana, the right speech, right action and right livelihood. And you have sati all the time. That's why you are ever mindful. That's why all this negativity cannot arise. So when the spiritual faculties are there, the hindrance is to be, means your garden is well kept. Your mind state and mind ground is well kept. Understand not? Understand not? The hindrance cannot come in. Understand? The evil root cannot arise. Careful, Lord. The analogy is very easy there. You don't believe those who look after garden one, you go and check. Stephanie's house, you go and check. The grass very nice. Yeah, she take care, understand? She will go every weekend. You go and pull out all those things. Yeah. You're lazy. You see, very fast, the lalang all will take over your grass. Then your whole garden become like not properly kept. So training your mind to develop mindfulness is very important. When you train your mind to have this sati, samadhi and panya, of course sada and virya must also be there. So this five spiritual faculty, when it's in place, the hindrance ceases to be. Then when you have this spiritual faculty, sati is automatic, understand not? You are already aware, understand not? So when you are really aware, to develop the 24 hours, you only have to stabilize it until it becomes what? Power. You heard of power? Balas. The 37th factor of enlightenment, these five spiritual faculty are repeated twice. Understand not? The second set is balas. When you have perfected it until it becomes unshakable, until your faith is unshakable, virya is unshakable, sati is unshakable, samadhi is unshakable. Of course, wisdom, if it's unshakable, you will become very wise. You are at least an arahant. So when you have this becoming balanced, you sure already enlightened. So when they become balanced, means your mindfulness is continuous, so stable inside you, even when you sleep. That's how the 24 hour come about. And sati, you don't have to learn. Understand? The moment you are silent, you are already aware. So you only need to maintain silence throughout the day. That's why I say, when you live life, you arise what they call awareness, then you perceive. That's how. You perceive and you move. But if you don't perceive, you cannot live. Understand? You don't know what is going on. Understand? But you are so different from the heedless. You aware, you perceive, you don't go and think like before. Understand? You only reflect and contemplate when you need to. Understand? When you need to understand certain things or help people, understand? Or reflect and contemplate to develop some form of understanding to help people. Like the last 25 years, I only reflect on one. How can I? What did I reflect? I used to tell you. How can I develop this Dhamma so that the Kayanamita can understand better? Understand? I only reflect and contemplate that way. You know, how can I share in a way where Kayanamita can understand? And the moment I inquire, then slowly, slowly the understanding will come up. Then I will reflect and contemplate on what happened when I share the question they ask. Why I can answer like that? Because I have seen so many people asking that question, using thought-based to try to relate to what I share. Understand? Initially, it's okay, understand? Because it's normal for that mind with that tendency. Understand? But later on, as you cultivate, as you understand, then you will come to know that the two things are world apart. Understand? Yeah. But you need to be patient. You need to slowly, slowly develop your own understanding and cultivate. And then suddenly one day when you awaken, then you will have a lot of joy. Then you will come to understand all this. Then you will just say, Sadhu, Brother Theo, thank you so much. No question. The Dhamma is pachetang, can be realized by the wise, each for themselves. Nobody else. That's why don't be impatient. When you already have the understanding, you will understand. By itself, you will understand. So this cultivation, what you can do is, to develop this 24 hour, you must be diligent. Diligent means, you must have this sadha, virya, sati. Then you diligently cultivate. That means, with your faith, with your sadha and virya that drive you to cultivate, you do it sincerely and diligently. Means non-stop. Means Dhamma contemplation, Dhamma cultivation. The first turning, second turning, and the third turning. Listening to Dhamma. Attending Dhamma talk, Dhamma discussion, reflect, contemplate at home. Then daily mindfulness. Continuous cultivation. Understand not? So that throughout your waking moment, you are with the cultivation. You are with the Dhamma. You are cultivating the Noble Eightfold Path. You are cultivating the Four Noble Truths, the three turnings. Yeah. Then in between, you want to strengthen your spiritual faculty until you become balanced. The best way is to do more bowing. If your daily mindfulness is not stable yet, you have to do more bowing. When you bow until you're very stable, then when you come out of your bowing, you will be very surprised. So easy to sit, so easy to have daily mindfulness. It's from bowing that the mindfulness comes. Then chanting also same. If you have the Mahayana tradition, if you are used to that, chanting is like bowing. They do together. Understand? That's why the Mahayana, you see their daily routine. They got Zao Ke, Wan Ke, understand? Then they will have their chanting. Chanting, then after that, they have their walking meditation. As they chant, they walk mindfully. Then they bow. Sometimes they bow. Go down, come out. Go down, come out, then they ting, then they go down again, they get come out. And that is all cultivating spiritual faculty. The sadha, virya, and the sati. That's why their spiritual faculty develop very fast, Mahayana. Asana. If only they understand what they are doing. Yeah. So for Theravada, I realize the puja part is not strong. Asana. Our emphasis is on what? Retreat. Asana. Formal meditation. That's where Theravada, the gap is very big. Because theirs is daily, continuous. Because they are in a temple, understand? And they do a lot of this chanting. But it doesn't mean that as a lay person you cannot do. You integrate your work, your career, your family life into the daily mindfulness. That's why the Buddha teaches Sati Sampajana, understand? And it can be developed into meditation, understand? That's why to the Zen master, Zen is meditation in life. Drinking a cup of Chinese tea is Zen, Zazen, understand? So to develop 24 hour means 24 hour non-stop cultivation, the three turnings of the Four Noble Truths. And the emphasis is your daily religious routine. Make it strong. Yeah. Then connect the what they call the connecting activity between puja and your daily life. And determine to be mindful throughout the day. And it can be done. It can be done. Not difficult, eh, Kelly? Really? I know you have the resolve. I rejoice. Eh? Salute to you.
Like when we are working, how to be
aware? Very good question. I teach you. Not difficult. I already told you, I can testify, because when I started my meditation, it was 1971, but that time was not serious, but I don't know what is meditation. Well, when I come to know the real meditation, 1986, I went in full time. Throughout the day, I cultivate. Initially, it's my waking moment. I was married, I got two children, I got a family. I got a very intense career. Means they call it a madhouse. Actually, the place I work, if you don't have the understanding, you sure give up. It's a madhouse. A lot of work on. They say 10 engineers also not enough on that post. But I alone handle the whole thing. And I was able to do it together with the meditation. Throughout the day, non-stop. And that time was like a routine to me. My daily life is like that. Before I sleep, I will do. Then before I go to office, I will do. Then immediately when I reach office, I will meditate. Where I go there early. Then after that, when the office starts, my daily mindfulness continues. Then at home, in between, every time I come in, I pay respect to Triple Gem. Then I will do my bowing. So the bowing was within that period when I take refuge with Master Swanho, that 2 months. Then later on, I integrate my daily mindfulness into my daily life. Every moment I determine to be aware. I make sure the awareness never slip away from me. I determine to be aware from inside out. Every time aware from inside out. Everything I do, every moment of seeing, hearing, smell, taste, aware from inside. Even the phone ring. How my hand move and take the phone and how I bring it about, fully aware. Then how I listen, how I talk, I fully aware. Then how I put it back. Then I realize when I start to become mindful like that, I'm with the moment most of the time, my heedless thinking cease to be. I hardly think. Then most of the time I aware. Means my hand, my movement, all I fully aware. Blinking of my eye, turning, stretching, bending. Just like in the Satipatthana. I start to be aware. Naturally on my own. Yeah. But initially it was very tough. The first 2 weeks. Split second the mindfulness is gone. Split second the mindfulness is gone. Yeah. Then the first day I remember when I tried, I was hardly 5 minutes a day away throughout the day. Then I realized I have not done the real meditation. But the heedless mind was so heedless. Then I start to do the mind sweeping method. I start to reverse all this heedless thinking. Then I start to stabilize my mind during the formal meditation. Then later on, my daily mindfulness come about is because of my bowing. I realize my bowing helped me a lot. You must do your 10,000 bow within 2 months if you can. That's what I did. And I was told somebody trying to do 1 month. Very good, Sadhu. And bowing really very good. You can ask Padmasuri. That day at the house, Dana, she shared very well. Where is she? Oh, Shanghai with the daughter. Yeah. You go and listen to the recording. Oh, the husband has the recording, the recorder. The full version, you will listen. She said, at first she tried, a lot of pain. No? She nearly gave up. No? Because the age also catching up on her. Not easy to bow. No? Then he bowed the slow one. No? 1 minute, 6 times only. No? So 1 minute, 6 times. 10 minutes, how many? 60 times. Huh? So if 300 bow take how long? 5 times, 20 minutes, how long? So, at first she say she tried to maintain 20 minutes. I tell you, 20 minutes is a long time to bow, no? Understand? No? It's not like sitting meditation, no? Half an hour, 1 hour very fast. No? Bowing, 20 minutes is very long, no? Understand? No? Because it's very painful. Understand? And she said, here, ache there, ache. But she, luckily she very wise. No? She slow down a bit, then she don't do so often. No? Then she allowed the thing to recover here. But because her faith was so strong, no? She was so determined, then she can do. No? Then all of a sudden when she do, she find it so easy already. No? Or now she like to do. No? Herself, no? Then I told her can break into 3 times a day instead of 1 shot, finish all. Herself, no? Morning, afternoon, night, or whenever you're free. Then after she do, she stabilize. Then she cultivate daily mindful. Then her character change. Her, what they call, personality also start to change. No? Then in the school, something happened. No? She related in the sharing. Oh. She was so surprised. No? Normally, she very panicky. No? Got one exam, she told us. She said she was the teacher who set the exam question. No? Somehow, within all the 400 paper for the student taking the exam, one of the paper was a last year's exam question. No? Means one of the students sit the wrong paper. No? Then when the teacher come to know, the HM, she confronted her. No? So normally she will panic. No? But that day she said very funny. No? She was so calm and so quiet and so still. No? And she just listened attentively. No? Then she remember what I say. No? Do what you have to do. No need to react. Understand? Get angry, react, become miserable, no point. Then she just look at the thing and say, oh, I think I understand. I need to sort this out, at least with the parent and the student. And she just tell the HM, don't worry, I will sort it out. And she go and sort it out and settle everything. And she was so surprised, you know. She suddenly began, she be last time very hot tempered, is it? Small, small thing, agitatory, a lot of fear, a lot of what. Oh. You go and listen to the recording. Huh? She gave two or three examples. Dhamma is like that, you know, change until you yourself doesn't know why you change. But suddenly when you encounter a situation, the mind understands. The wisdom understands. And it knows how to act. You will be different. That's why I told you, you will become different. You are not like before. Through the conditioned mind, understand? The reaction, the emotion, the fear, the worry, the anxiety, all this is. Because your wisdom has stabilized and like override all those things, understand? Okay? Can follow. So I hope this will give you all confidence and faith. That's why you must ask, like what Kelly did was very good. These are the questions that will help bring forth the condition for Dhamma to flow. But for me, it's so long ago, understand? And I never going to record all these things. Even if I want to, I don't think I can record, understand? Because these things just come. And you will experience them face by face. It will just go through like that. But the cultivation is like, you will go back to your old past cultivation level very fast. And how I went back there also, I don't know. That's why I understand all this and I know how to do myself. Nobody taught me, I tell you. I got guide, I got teacher, but they teach me something else. They share with me some essential key pointers. They never explain the Dhamma. Most of them don't really have that type of Dhamma to explain to me. But they tell me how to train my mind to develop the real meditation, sati. It's mainly sati. From sati, I break free. I connect back. Because in my past, my cultivation, my nature specialized in sati. That's why I can teach you a lot of things about sati that is never written in the book. Very few people can teach you. Even my second last teacher, when I have any student ask about mindfulness and sati, he said, you can ask Brother Theo, he said. Because he did that. You know what she told me or not? There was one day when I went through a transformation after I had my bath. The whole thing transformed. Then I start to see a lot of things that I never see before. Then I went straight away after that to her place and discussed with her. You know, after she heard what I said, she looked at me. You know what you have developed or not, is it? You have developed the type of sati that he used the word. I just quote. Most monks also cannot do one, is it? And he told my wife at that time, you better get ready. Your husband is going to become a monk. At that time, you ask my wife. She told her separately, not in front of me. That time she panicked. That time the kid was still small. Because the nature is so different. That time when I was doing the cultivation, like I told you, 86 to 89, the book come, the teacher come, the guide come, everything come. Then I just know how to go, and everything fall into place. When I need to take leave, I will take leave. And my schedule is very busy. But I can take leave and go to Australia to meet my teacher, attend the Katina, everything. The spiritual trip, I went for a lot of spiritual trip. I go on my own. Then the condition is there. I just connect. And the condition just fall into place. Then we meet all the great masters of Thailand, most of them. I don't know why only Thailand. Then China. Other places don't have much affinity. So this is unique and peculiar to my nature from the past. So that's why if I can share whatever I can, I will share. But you must create the condition. You must ask me. Understand not? Don't every time Q&A look down on the floor. ask anybody, everybody close the eye, look down the floor. Are they very difficult to understand? Not to say I try to like force you all to ask questions. No, you don't have questions, no need to ask. Yeah? Even you look at me, I ask you, you say, relative, I don't have questions. Ah, it's okay, understand? But don't be shy. What's the time now? Oh, sorry, 10:35 already. So we stop. Sadhu. I rejoice. So we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. Then we invoke the blessing for the nation. Then after that, maybe you determine strongly, make the aspiration. Share your merits with the devas. Akasata cha bumata devanaga mahindika punyang pang anumoditwa chirang rakkhantu lokasasana. May all beings inhabiting space and earth, devas and nagas of mighty power, share these merits and may they long protect the dispensation. Itta vata chamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya. May all beings share these merits which we have thus acquired, and may all devas rejoice, and may it contribute greatly to their well-being and happiness. Transfer merits to the departed one and those who can receive them. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontunya tayo. Let this marriage accrue to all departed relatives and those who can receive them, and may they all to be well and happy always. Okay, invoke the blessing for the nation. Devo satukalena sasa sampati heto cha fito bhavatu loko cha raja bhavatu dhammiko. May the rainfall in due season. May there be a rich and good harvest throughout. May the world be peaceful and prosperous always. May the government of the day, the king and the rulers, be righteous. Okay, you make your aspiration, determine strongly and sincerely. Ipmina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo satang samagamo hotu yawa nivana patiya. By the grace of these merits that we have thus acquired, may we never follow the foolish, but only the wise and the enlightened one, until Nibbana is realized. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha. Then we end. Thank you.